Grandy's Grades?
Let's do it.
Grandy's Grades. Let's go.
How did the 49ers grade out this week? Did they pass? Did they fail? Let's find out. It's time for Grandy's Grades on Willard and Dibbs.
All right, week three, Grandy's Grades here on 95.7 The Game on Willard and Dibbs. As always, we've got seven different categories to go through. We start with the quarterback, then skill positions, which is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Offensive line, then to the defense with the front seven, which is the D-linemen and the linebackers. Secondary, special teams, and coaching. We begin with the quarterback, one of the few bright spots, guys. I gave Brock Purdy an A for his performance.
I mean, I'm not going to get any argument over here. I mean, I understand if you want to look at a couple of things. I don't know who you blame a sack fumble on. Is that on the quarterback, the offensive line? To me, it's a little bit shared. You look at the Brandon Ayuk is loose late in the game. Brock doesn't pull the trigger. Those are all fair, but if you want to look at the game as it in its entirety, Brock was fantastic.
It's great. Yeah. It's an A minus because you turned it over and you deprived the kicker a chance to miss a 55-yarder before the end of the half. Thank you. Because you were at the 40-yard line.
Good one, Dips.
Thank you. And ultimately, your job is to hold on to the ball. And yes, McKivitz got beaten, and that fumble came a little bit too easy,
yep.
And you had Ayuk down the middle of the field open. Had you seen it and thrown it to a guy who had probably 15 yards of separation, which I guess that won't count in his stats as yards of separation because the ball didn't go to him, you win the game. Other than that, he was terrific, but I'm going to grade him tough. It's an A minus.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with an A versus an A minus. I'm going to add in that if there are six drops in a game, like you could have statistically had an unbelievably special game. You know, again, A minus, whatever it is, Brock was really good.
Yeah, fair enough. Skill positions up next. Again, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. As a group, I gave them a B grade.
Wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. Lay that out a little bit. How'd you get to your
B? Juwan was obviously incredible. If it was just Juwan, he gets an A plus. Jordan Mason was solid.
Good.
He was good. Definitely nothing bad there. You guys just spent the last hour talking about Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, there were a couple of drops. Maybe he was open a couple of times and Purdy didn't find him. And then, obviously, a big part of this as well, Ronnie Bell dropping a gimme that would have probably won you the game. So that's all factored in there. Overall, the group passed, but there was a couple of key factors that really pulled Juwan and Jordan Mason's grades down.
Yeah, that feels about right. I mean, you know, we're going to focus on the Ronnie Bell thing. I didn't think Brandon Ayuk had some sort of offensive game or anything like that. I didn't think it was great. I guess I'll buy that, which is, I mean, it's crazy with Juwan doing what he did that this only ended up as a B.
Right.
That doesn't speak well of everybody else.
I would put it B minus to C plus because ultimately, and four drops is the official number. They had four drops credited. We can say six because it felt like six, but four is the official number. And when you have the drop that Ronnie Bell had, he's a skill position guy by the very nature of the position he plays. That was catastrophic. And, you know, Mason was good, really good in the first half, pretty quiet in the second half. You got next to nothing out of your tight ends. So, yes, Juwan Jennings, A plus, 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 whatever you want to give him. It was an historic game. But outside of that, your skill guys were mostly just ordinary.
What was Saubert's line?
2 for 41.
Okay.
And I wonder if part of that yardage was on that last play, okie doke, because Jake Brendel got a couple of yards on that. Dominic Pooney loses 3 yards on that play.
I don't think those go as receiving yards. Those
they do.
They do. Well, he got two catches and he caught two targets and he caught them both. So you're right. You get yards, but you don't get a catch.
Of course.
Yeah, like Jake Brendel has 2 yards without a reception.
Dominic Pooney has no catches for minus three.
For minus three.
And I was actually watching that play wondering, as a statistician, what kind of a headache that would be. Because the catch part is easy. Okay, he caught it there. He gets that. And then it's like, whoop, 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 whoop. And also for fantasy, if you have a guy who fumbles on that play,
the last guy,
yes,
the last guy
that can crush you
is going to absolutely get you.
Well, did you guys see the Detroit game? Jahmyr Gibbs had a receiving touchdown, even though he didn't have a catch on the play.
Yes,
because it was a hook and lateral.
You had the guy who caught it, and then Amon-Ra catches it, and he gets the yards and the point, the PPR, but then he gives it up to Gibbs, who gets all the goodness.
Is that why I lost to you?
That was a big reason, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It was awesome.
All right. Too bad.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Up next is the offensive line as we round out the offense here on Grandy's Grades. I gave the offensive line a D-plus for their performance. Purdy was only sacked once, but he was running for his life over and over and over again. And going up against that front for the Rams, it wasn't good. That this should be a group that you should be able to control, and I didn't think they did for the majority of that game. D-plus for me.
I think that's a little low, just because, again, if there is only one sack, I get where you're coming from on pass protection. It needs to be better. I didn't like Trent Williams telling Christina Pink, boy, this camp thing would have been good. That doesn't land very well with me. But if Jordan Mason is going to play well, you're not going to get sacked very much. I get that there was a sack fumble. They weren't overly penalized. I'm not trying to say it was a good performance. D-plus sounds a little heavy-handed to me.
I put it in a C because you did get 4 yards carry. And I know Brock Purdy went for 41 yards on his own. A couple of those were sneaks, and a lot of them were scrambles. But Mason got 4.1. Garendo, pretty good, getting 3.8. And you only got sacked once. So for me, overall, it was adequate. I would give him a C.
Wasn't a terrible performance. The opponents that you're going up against. I mean, can you guys name a defensive lineman? They've got a couple of rookies. Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, a couple of rookies out of Florida State.
I don't know. Other than, you know, the
Karen Curl.
Donald is retired. You should dominate this group.
Yes, although I would argue that the group, the other trenches group on the other side of the ball, that's where the Rams were really shorthanded. I mean, look, this version of the Rams, Stafford, Puka, Cooper, and Kyren Williams, and then now we can name some of their backup receivers, and I know that Tre'Davious White is now on the Rams. Outside of that, nobody's naming any Rams.
Yeah.
No one's naming any Rams anymore. There's no Jalen Ramsey. There's no Aaron Donald. There's no naming Rams.
Robinson, Whittington,
those
Parkinson.
Defense.
They have a cornerback named Kobe Durant. Kind of a cool name.
That is.
They got Bobby Brown, too.
If you're in the NBA.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, next.
Well, let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. The front seven, which is the D-line that you're talking about, and the linebackers, I gave them the same grade as the O-line, a D-plus for the front seven.
I like it because Kyren Williams had a pretty comfortable day running the ball, and you did have 3 sacks. One of them was an absolute gimme, but you didn't disrupt a game where the Rams were starting 3 backup offensive linemen. So that's a game where they should have feasted like they did against the Jets, where they were a dominant group. So I actually like that grade the best.
I actually don't think it's heavy-handed enough. I'm struggling. Only Hargrave getting a sack. 3 total sacks, I know, on Stafford, but one of them was an absolute cupcake. I'm having a hard time giving them something above an F. I give them a D minus just because, it's not like they were committing penalties all day long, but who on the front seven did you name? Name me the play that someone made. You made a play. A game-changing play. There wasn't one. There wasn't one. And as you just said, 3 of 5 offensive linemen missing, and that group couldn't pressure Matt Stafford, couldn't stop Kyren Williams, couldn't plug the A gap, B gap, any of the gaps, couldn't shop at the gap. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. That is not worthy of anything other than barely passing. You get a D minus and a request to show up to office hours.
They did have back-to-back plays in the second half where Bosa was held. He forced a hold.
Yep.
Hargrave got his only sack, and that led to a 2nd and 29. That was the only time the Rams were really behind the sticks other than when they were penalized.
Overall, though, you're right. Not a very good day.
No.
Next is the secondary. Also wasn't pretty. I gave them a slightly worse grade than the front seven. I gave the secondary a D for their performance. I know I might have some disagreement here. I just felt like the Rams didn't simply pass for enough yards to get an F in this one. 221 yards. You could fire back. Well, you got Tutu Atwell, DeMarcus Robinson, and Jordan Whittington catching passes. They shouldn't throw for more than 200 yards. And there was another major penalty on Isaac Yiadom. I get all that. But overall, a D is what I gave the secondary for their performance.
Yeah, the only reason I might give it a D plus or a C minus or something like that, like all the things that you just said are acknowledged, I do look at each individual and find out, like, did somebody play well? And I do think that D'Amador Lenore did. Don't love the tweet, but I do love the way he's playing. So if someone's going to talk, like, that's one of maybe 2.5 defenders right now on the Niners team that's playing well. D'Amador Lenore is playing really well. The rest of the group, yeah, I don't like it. Charvarius Ward is not up to par right now. Yiadom, we've discussed. Renardo Green is just starting to get into the fold. I guess I'd also give it a little something just because Hufanga is back. That was fun to see, and he had 7 tackles. So, okay, I'd bump it up a little from where you are, but acknowledge everything you're saying.
I would bump it down a little bit from where you are, and I would put it at a D-. And you look at 221 yards passing for Stafford. Well, really, you should add 73. 48 yards on the Yiadom PI, 25 yards on, and I know Campbell is a linebacker, so maybe that doesn't count.
No, but it's a good point.
But you look at the stats, they had 0 takeaways, and they had 4 passes defensed. 4 passes defensed out of 26, because Tutu got one in there as well. And the big one for me that brings it down to a D minus is Mooney Ward giving up a 50 burger.
That was bad.
On the one thing you can't do with 2:43 to go is get beat over the top. And he was open by 4 or 5 yards.
Lucas and I were watching the All-22 of that earlier today. He was playing like 15 yards off of Tutu Atwell when the ball was snapped and still just got
ran right by him.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, you know how the guys throughout the day have been kind of like, something looks wrong with Brandon Ayuk. You know how that take's been out there? Charvarius Ward is next. Something looks wrong. Like, I love what that guy follows DK Metcalf around and takes him out the game. And then, of course, in Minnesota, he's like, I feel much better when I'm following around the lead receiver. Well, now you played a game that doesn't even have a lead receiver. And dudes are running right by you? Charvarius Ward, I don't like the body language right now.
And you can see reports of hamstring and knee injuries that he's dealing with. So I don't think that he's quite right, but as I've always said, if you're on the field you're playing, you're healthy enough to be out there. So that's why I give him a D-, Grandy's, because of that play where you're right. And we talked last week about, they should outlaw the 2 high safeties. You can't go deep. Turns out you can go deep against the Niners. Justin Jefferson's on the phone, as is Tutu Atwell. D-, Grandy.
Life comes at you fast if you're a star cornerback in the NFL. It really is crazy. Just look at Charvarius Ward. He's not a shutdown guy anymore.
Yeah. That's a good drop in.
Nice job, Lucas. Thanks for contributing to our show. That was awesome.
You got any other questions for me?
Yeah, when's dinner?
About 7.
Okay.
You know what else comes at you fast, Lucas? Rams receivers. Tutu Atwell.
People named Tutu.
Tutu.
You gotta
Atwell.
Be quick to be
Atwell.
Named Tutu.
Yeah. Right. Seriously. Or a good hope. Dancer.
All right. You thought maybe it would get better from here because we've given out a couple of D pluses and a D. No, it only gets worse because up next is special teams.
There we go.
And they get Randy's first F of the year. Special teams and F.
I don't even know how you could argue this. What else would you give them? What else would you give them? They get an F for the year. The only reason for the year I'd give him a D minus is because Jake Moody was incredible against the Jets. But outside of that, what is this group offering right now? A blocked punt, a fake punt, a punt return, a missed key field goal, Deebo Samuel taking the ball out from 2 yards deep, and then getting tackled at the 18 so that the penalty can bring you back to the 10. Like, what is this group doing right now?
Not a lot, Mark.
What are you doing?
Well, you're giving up the most punt return yards in football. You are 32nd in punt net average, which means how far you kick it, how far they return it. And that was another huge moment in the game. Xavier Smith, He of zero touches in his NFL career is able to catch it and go 38 yards up the sideline to set up the game winner. It's absolutely an F, and it's actually my second straight F to the special teams in 2 weeks.
What makes it even worse, and this kind of bleeds into the next one.
Danger of failing the class.
Kyle Shanahan saying they felt that the fake punt was coming, they still couldn't stop it. Yeah. And that leads into coaching for me. You guys know me. I'm not one to hand out A-pluses. I'm also not one to hand out Fs. Coaching also gets an F for me in this game. Boom. And it's more than just Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah,
it is Brian Schneider. It is Nick Sorensen.
Sure.
It is overall not being prepared to take on a Rams team that is down like four of their five best players. Coaching gets an F. They were not prepared for this game.
No, it was not a good day for the staff, obviously. F feels to me, this is sort of the conversation we had last week when you gave Brock Purdy like a B or B minus or whatever it was, and we had the whole conversation about like, well, where's the demerit? Let's do it from the flip side. Is there any piece of coaching that you liked? Anything?
No.
No?
The only thing I liked in this game was Jawan Purdy and some Jordan Mason.
Okay, but is that not part of it? You know, like, here's all I'd say. And I know that this is a criticism of Kyle Shanahan, which is when he has to go off script, it gets not as good. Well, I'll give him credit for his script. His script, and I don't even know, again, was that the script? Did you mean to, like, have Juwan Jennings be the star of the week? I don't know, but the 49ers came out and they went up 14-0. And I believe we're on their way to maybe 21 or 17-0. And then two things got in their way, which is where we get to the special teams and whatnot, is the fake punt and then the sack fumble. But something in there was working. It's not going to give them a good grade, but I might do D as opposed to F.
I got him in a C minus. I thought Kyle Shanahan called a great game, and this is going to be something that people want to clap back at. 888-957-9570. And he gets credit for the Ronnie Bell play that he dropped it. That was a great design. It was a great route, and he was open.
Well,
doesn't get credit for Ronnie Bell being on the field in that moment, though.
And you could argue that he doesn't have much of a choice.
Right, right. Like, is there something to be said for coaching, especially when you're the offensive coach, when going into the game, so many were like, oh, my God, what are they going to do with no Kittle, no Debo, and no Christian? And what you do is you go out and start running up and down the field scoring touchdowns. That's all I'm saying. Again, not a good day for the coaches, but I got to give them something better than an F because of that factor.
I would give Sorensen an F. I would give Schneider of the special teams an F.
I would give Schneider an M.
Well, and
like, how far down can we go?
Shanahan probably gets a solid B because his job in part is to prepare his team to play. And I do think his team was prepared to play. I don't think that they lost because they were ill-prepared. His job is also to coach the coaches. And the thing about the fake punt, them knowing that it was coming and not calling timeout and not putting the defense back on the field, that's a big demerit. But also, he had a tough challenge that he had to make instantaneously because the Rams were going into hurry-up.
Yep,
and he threw the hanky, and he was correct. Maybe B's a little too high for Shanahan. I don't want to be a Shanahan stan or a Shanahan fan, but in general, I don't think that his coaching was the issue.
Well, I mean,
F's a little too high.
I get where Grandy's coming from because if your assistant coaches have a bad day, that gets transferred some to the head coach.
For sure.
Fair or not, I don't know, but that's the, you know, we don't make the rules. That's
he also talks post-game about how he had conversations with the team going into the game, like, you know, this is a hungry Rams team. Yep. They're on their last legs. We got to come out and make sure we don't ever give them any hope. Like, we have the chance to put them away. Don't give them hope. Clearly, the message was not received, and that's on coaching as well.
I give you an example. Like, you're across midfield. This is the sack fumble play. You're up 14-7. There's less than a minute to go until half. A field goal at that point is a big deal. That's a big deal, especially with the Rams getting the ball to come out in the second half. That's a big deal. Two-score lead. I would argue, and I know people want Kyle to be like less conservative, on that play, I think he was not conservative enough. Granted, it would have been a long field goal. Granted, Jake Moody could have missed it. But I think if you do something that's either on the ground or a much more quick hitting play just to get a few yards, you're helping your team in that moment, because this is probably not going to be a touchdown drive. Less than a minute to go, you're just across the 50. Do something that is going to ensure your field goal try. They got a little too aggressive, in my opinion, on that play call.
27 seconds left.
Yeah.
You're out of timeouts.
Yeah.
It's second and two at the 40. You just had used your final timeout. Yeah. So if you run it there, then it's going to be maybe first down, maybe third, but you're going to have to spike it, and you probably have one more play, and you're going to kick it anyway.
No problem.
Second and two, maybe you try to pick up a little bit more, you get out of bounds, and you have then a shot or two to the end zone to really put the game in a certain spot.
I don't mind throwing the ball, but a three-step drop release, as opposed to what they did, which was they put Brock back there for a second. And
maybe a second.
I mean, too long. Too
McKibben's
long.
McKibben got beaten very quickly.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But again, like if you're doing a sideline route, you know, you're just doing, you know, like the old high school coaching. If you're just doing basically a one or a two, and you're just boom, just like heading out to the sideline. Yeah, I think you're probably okay on that play.
I didn't hate the call.
Yeah.
You know, considering where they were, you're at the 40, so you feel like you need probably five more yards. At the 40, it's a 57-yarder, which feels, apparently, it's, you know, not something that's comfortable for Moody. He missed a 55-yarder later, so you're thinking,
I don't know if it's uncomfortable. He's already hit those.
Yeah.
You're indoors. Look, the 55-yarder had plenty of leg. He just pulled it.
Yeah.
57-yarder is completely makeable. And again, I'm thinking you do get some more yards. A draw play there would have been really interesting. I think you probably would have picked up six or seven, and then you have every opportunity to go spike that ball. And then
you're kicking it from there.
Maybe, or you're running one more play. Depends on how quickly that all develops.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point, it's a 48 to 50-yard field goal and likely a 17-7 lead. That's all. Look, I know it's super easy hindsight, but that's probably what would have worked better.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Now that we know the result.
Didn't mind it. And, you know, before that, they had the throw to Saubert, which got you to the 40, and it was over the middle, so you had to use your final timeout. Maybe you should have come up and just spiked it then and kept the timeout, and then you would have had a chance to run it again or pass it. And hindsight is always 20-20.
Sure.